Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the season premiere of NLL Weekly Live. We are now starting the 30th year of NLL lacrosse. Some new things have happened during the past summer. Two teams have uprooted and have now new locations, we'll say, in the league. Formerly the Edmonton Rush, I should say, winners of last year's Champions Cup, have uprooted and moved to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And the formerly team known as the Minnesota Storm has moved south of the Mason-Dixon line, we'll say, and are now the Georgia Swarm. But before we get that going, I'd like to bring on my guest right now, and I am very happy that he has taken time out of his busy schedule to join me. None other from IO Indoor, and also from Off the Crossbar radio show, and it could be found at Off the Crossbar on Twitter, none other than Teddy Jenner. Teddy, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Rob, it's my pleasure, man. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I really can't complain. I mean, I can. We don't have a team still here in Philly, but, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you just got to kind of grin and bear it, I guess, right now. You know, I kind of feel for the fans up in Minnesota and also those in Edmonton. I mean, have we ever seen anything like this happen really in any of the sports where a team wins a championship? You know, they win it and they move. I mean, I know, you know, it's a business and things like that, but this team that has been in Edmonton for 10 years, their diehard fans are not going to be able to see that banner being raised in their arena.
Yeah, it's a really unique situation, and I don't, like you said, I don't think we've ever really seen that in a sport where a team wins a championship and leaves the next year. It's a really rare thing, and I was a member of the Edmonton Rush in their first 2 years, so I know that fan base pretty well. And for that organization to put 10 years in and then just leave, it really left a sour taste in the mouths of a lot of those fans who finally were able to see their team win it after so many fruitless years and countless hours of just seeing their team not be good. And it's really an unfortunate situation that when they have their home opener in Saskatoon next weekend, that they will raise that banner, but it won't be in Edmonton. So it's a really unique situation, but I think it just kind of shows that this league is ever-evolving. And I know we're going to talk about it, but with the new commissioner, Nick Sakevich, you know, he wants to bring a team back to Edmonton. He wants to bring a team back to Philly. So there is hope for those fan bases, but it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you kind of, you know, jumped right into it with the new commissioner being, you know, being introduced just prior to this weekend. But yeah, that banner is going to be raised in Saskatoon.
It's weird, but you know, it's going to say, I don't know how it's going to look. Like, is it going to say, you know, 2015 NLL Champions Cup champions, the Edmonton Rush? Because that's going to look really weird, because the Saskatchewan Rush didn't win it.
Right.
The Edmonton Rush did. So what's that banner going to say? It could look really awkward sitting in the SaskTel Arena to have an Edmonton Rush banner for a Saskatchewan team. So we should see how that plays out.
I think it just might say, you know, it'll have the Rush logo.
Yeah,
but it might say lacrosse club underneath. But then again, but then you got to look at the colors. The Edmonton Rush wore silver and black. Saskatoon has the green added in, so
yeah,
it's kind of, you know, odd. And I've been thinking about it ever since the announcement of the move. I would think, I don't know if the word class thing to do is the word I'm looking for, but I think the proper thing to do would be that the organization should have done something for the fans. It's obvious the banner has to be there by now. They have to have that banner. Have something somewhere at wherever they would have their post-game party, anywhere. Rent a place or something and unveil that banner. Let the fans see it. Let them see it. Let them get a picture with it. Something. Do something, because...
Yeah, I know when sort of the last days of the Rush were going on, and they sort of did like a major locker room clean-out, merchandise sale kind of thing for the fans. They had the trophy there, and they were trying to make fans. But it was kind of an eerie sense because those fans knew that that was going to be the last time they were going to see the lacrosse club. So I know Bruce Irvin and Lee Grenier, the new president, have been trying to do as much as they can not to alienate those Edmonton fans. I believe they are doing a bus trip for some of the fans. They want to come down from Edmonton to Saskatoon so that they can be there and witness the event. But, you know, like you said, it's not going to be the same, and it's unfortunate. So hopefully, with the direction that the league wants to go, and the new commissioner is hoping that it goes, that Edmonton will have a team back there soon enough, and maybe they'll have their own banner.
Yeah. Now let's jump right into the new commissioner, Nick Sakevich, former CEO of the Philadelphia Union of the Major League Soccer. They play out of PPL Park here in Chester, Pennsylvania. I had to kind of keep this under a lock and key, a shut mouth, which is very hard for me to do. But yeah, we talked about it. I was grateful to be introduced to Mr. Sakevich by Michael French back on December 19th after the New England Black Wolves played the Buffalo Bandits in a preseason game. And for, you know, Mike French to do that, I've had, you know, somewhat of a good relationship with, you know, with Mike. Obviously, he knows I was very upset with the team moving. I was very angry with him, but we kind of settled our differences, I'll say. So for him to come up to me while I was going down into the locker room to get some interviews and introduced me to Mr. Sakevich was really, you know, it told me something, you know. And, you know, I talked to him off the record for a while of what he wants to do. And just like he stated in his press conference, he wants to get this league up to a 16-team league. Now, whether that's, I believe, over a 5 to 10 year period, you know, it's yet to be seen. He wants to, like you said, bring in Philadelphia and Edmonton back into the market. And obviously, with him being at the PPL Arena up in Allentown, where the Lehigh Valley Phantoms play and everything, that seems like to be one of the key arenas, I'll say, because they hold around 12,000 people.
I think the direction is going to be a good one. And I think the fact that he doesn't really know much about lacrosse is also very good, because he comes in with a blank slate. He comes in with an idea of how to make a league successful. And he did that with the MLS. He was one of the founding partners of Major League Soccer when it started up 20 years ago, when the National Lacrosse League was trying to find their path to become the sort of next big thing, which ultimately was MLS. So I think Nick has been through the ringer for a while, dealing with MLS and the process of starting new franchises and being a governor and being CEO. And unfortunately, that there is some shadows kind of around the new commissioner, and people can find them, and they can read news stories out of Philadelphia, and they can talk to soccer people who may not have good stories to tell about him. But that's fine. That's soccer. That's stuff that's all in the past. I'm really excited to see what he can do moving this league forward, because, as you said, he wants to take it to 16 teams. And I don't know if that's, like you said, 2, 3, 5, 8-year plan. Obviously, he can't do it too quickly, because then we start getting the situation we had a few years ago, where we find ourselves in markets that don't have stable ownership, they don't have proper fan bases, and they don't have fans that want to see lacrosse. And those are sort of his three platforms of finding new franchises. So I think for Nick to come in, he's doing the right thing. He's not promising anything. He's not pretending to be the almighty savior. He's going to take his time. He's going to go to all the different markets and see what works and what doesn't work. And he'll formulate a plan and start to put that in place. So I think lacrosse fans need to be patient, because it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, and, you know, he's very approachable. Nick, he's very, you know, forward. You walk right up to him, he'll introduce himself to you, you know, if you're unsure of who he is, and he'll answer any questions that, you know, you really have. And, you know, like I said, when we talked off the record, that's what, you know, what he's looking at. He's also looking at, believe it or not, now I don't know if, you know, our outgoing commissioner, Mr. Daniel, did this as well, but he wants to try to get an outdoor team back in Philly as well, where they could play at PPL Park. So, you know, he's trying to, I guess, put a bug into Mr. Steinfeld's ear, you know, about that. Now, obviously, his dedication is going to be to the NLL, but, you know, he helped get PPL Park up and running and, you know, get everything going there. So, you know, he knows what the sport means and, you know, how it's developing here in the Philadelphia area. I mean, we've had the NCAAs here a couple times. I believe they're going to be here again this year for 2016. You had the MLL championship here a few years ago. So you get a half-decent fan base. And I think with the players that are still staying in, we'll say, the Philadelphia area, you know, you have Kevin Crowley. He's still living in the area. Drew Westervelt, which is basically down the road. He's, you know, down in Baltimore. Obviously, he'll play for the Bayhawks or things like that. But guys that are in the area that have their lacrosse clubs, the Fusion Lacrosse and NXT, it might be kind of good. You get an outdoor Philly team and they want to play. They're right there. You don't have a lot of, say, expense on travel.
Yeah, and that, I think, you know, that's all well and good. And I think the more, you know, MLL and NLL teams you can have is fantastic. The biggest concern is, and I kind of, this is a weird debate I got into with some soccer guy who called the NLL a minor league because he felt that players were leaving the NLL to play MLL, which made MLL the pro league and the NLL the minor league. Which was just completely asinine. But it goes, the argument in the conversation basically was that people were choosing NLL over MLL and MLL over NLL just because the seasons cross over. So I think if there is going to be a cohesive partnership between the two, they have to get away from each other. They can't continue to cross over because you lose stars like Rabel and Hartzell and all these other American guys that would love to play indoors but don't because they don't want to miss 6 weeks or whatever the crossover is now between the seasons. And it's not fair to either league to lose stars because the other league is playing. So if the MLL and NLL are to work together, which I think they really could and should, they need to be opposite seasons.
Yeah, and that's where you got to look at the calendar and see when it can actually happen. Now, the MLL, I believe, starts at the very end of April. And that's just when we're in the last week or 2 weeks of the regular season. So, I mean, you're looking, you know, like last year, I believe the finals were Memorial Day weekend, just, you know, beginning of June. So you're looking at the last of April, all of May, beginning of June, then those players want to try to recuperate for about a week or two. So you're...
It's tough because, you know, whether you're an MLL guy or a Canadian Summer League guy, you're going from January all the way through to, you know, mid-September if you go as far as you can go.
Okay.
And that's a lot of lacrosse to be played and not a lot of rest. And like you said, if a guy goes from the start of the NLL season right to the Champions Cup, right into Canadian Summer or MLL ball and doesn't take a rest, goes right to the championships, goes all the way through the Man Cup. That's 10 months straight of lacrosse every weekend and 5 nights a week during the summer. It takes a lot on the body. And this is a sport that wants to become full-time. And it's not going to do that when they're competing for playing time with other leagues.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I think it can be done is you may have to start the NLL season earlier. Maybe, you know, if you start it in December, everything it will be done by, say, the first week of May. So maybe those guys are only missing maybe a week or two, depending on how their schedule, you know, pans out. But, yeah, with the way, you know, schedules are out, and just like you said, if they play in the Canadian Summer League and the WLA and the MSL, and, you know, you have all, you know, the Man Cup finals, which go 7 games, and, you know, if they're playing out in Victoria, like, you know, this past summer, and they live out in Peterborough, you're talking about, you know, going basically cross country, and, you know, then all of a sudden, okay, yeah, I have a month to relax, and then boom, here's training camp for the NLL to start up again.
it's the lacrosse life isn't an easy one, even though, you know, people are like, oh, they just play weekends or whatever it may be. The life of a lacrosse player is very taxing and takes a lot out of you mentally, physically, emotionally. It plays havoc on your relationships and your families. And, you know, you see a guy like Sean Evans who, you know, has twin girls and three kids and needed a change and needed to be closer to home. So guys have to move. And that's the way it's always going to be in lacrosse until it's a full pro league, full-time pro league, and guys get paid so that it's their only job. It's always going to be that way. And it's going to take a long time for people to figure out the right way and the right path to make it work for everybody. I don't know if there is an easy solution right now.
No, you know what? The more I think of it, I don't think there is, to be honest with you, especially if they want to bring us up to a 16-team league. You get
the consensus from some people is that, and I feel this way at times too, is that there's too much lacrosse. And there's not enough growth in, like, a feeder system for lacrosse. And so if you really want the NLL to work, especially in Canada, you have to get away from hockey. So the ultimate thing would be, well, why not make the NLL play in the summer and move away from hockey and pack rinks indoors, and then you don't have to worry about competing for hockey, and you can make it an 8-month league or move it away from hockey. You know, that's just an option. But I think there's just too much lacrosse. People can watch 5 games or 6 games a week in the Lower Mainland during the summer.
Right. And
people wonder why there's nobody in the stands. Well, because there's too many options. The market's saturated because there's too much lacrosse. And when you have that, people aren't going to show up because they're not going to go watch lacrosse 7 nights. They're only going to want to watch lacrosse once, maybe twice a week in their hometown. So it's a tough market to work around if you don't have stability, in which is the one thing Commissioner Sakavich really wants.
Yeah, and I mean, I never thought I would hear those words, that there's too much lacrosse. I would never, you know. I know.
Like I said, like in the mainland, you can literally watch from junior to senior a game from Monday to Sunday. And, you know, when you're only getting 50 fans in an arena and you have major overhead costs and you're losing money because you can't put people in because there's too many options, and it really hurts. So if there was only, say, 2 teams in the Lower Mainland, Vancouver and Langley or wherever you're going to put your teams, just as an example, then there's less options and people can say, okay, I only have one game to go watch this week. It's going to be that game. Instead of, well, is it
going to
be Tuesday or is it Sunday? Which one are we
going to
go to?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah, like you said, yeah, you build it up that much, and, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're playing the summer. Yeah,
exactly.
And then the thing is, around here, well, I'd say in the Philly area itself, in the summer, you know, you got people who go down the shore, or they have, you know, mountain houses, they go up to the mountains, or, you know, what have you, and that, you know, that kind of, you know, would drain out as well. So, I mean, a 16-team league would be, I mean, I think that's where the players would probably have to decide at that point, do they want to play outdoor or do they want to play indoor?
Yeah, and then I think if they go to 16 teams, then it's working towards being more full-time and more stability. And if they go that far, then they're going to work towards TV deals and endorsements and marketing. And that all brings money to everybody's pocket, which makes being a full-time lacrosse player more of a reality.
Yeah. Yeah, now let's, real quick, I know I don't want to take up all your time. I know you've been real busy and you got a game tonight, the Stealth and the Black Wolves. The past draft, the Swarm loaded up on players.
Yeah.
They picked up Randy Stats. They picked up Lyle Thompson. Do you see this team growing the way they are? I mean, the past few years, it seems like they've had fire sales at the end of every single season. A player lasts a year and a half to 2 years, and then they're shipping them out to somewhere else. I mean, they have, you know, from what I saw last week, Stats with 3 goals and 4 assists. Lyle Thompson with 3 goals and 1 assist. Miles had an off game with just 1 assist. I mean, they have the talent. Now, I think they just have to keep them together.
Yeah, and I agree. And you know, unfortunately, you know, it, in the past for the Swarm, it's been a matter of budget for John Arlotta and his staff of, you know, keeping costs low, not having big salaries, loading up on young kids, and trying to get as many kids living in that market as possible. And it just it wasn't working for him. So that's why they kept on continually having a trade guy. But I think he needs to understand that to be successful, you can't keep having that turnover. And you have to find a chemistry with your guys and let them grow and let them, you know, become what you want them to be. Like, they drafted those guys to be the future of the franchise. They can't do what they did with Suter and they did with Benesch and they did with some of these other guys where they drafted them and then, like, okay, you've given us 3 years, we're going to move you.
Yeah,
and to be able to say, you know what, guys, you need to buy in, and we want you here for 4, 5, 6 years. Heck, do what they did with Jameson, sign guys to multi-year deals. You don't really mean much in the NHL because there's no guaranteed money or anything like that. But if you can lock a guy down for 5, 6 years, at least you build stability, and that way then your franchise and your fan base can say, okay, hey, you know, our ownership group is in this for the long haul. Let's go and support this team because we're going to see the Thompsons and King and Tutton and Jordan McIntosh and Shane Jackson and all those guys for a long time instead of, oh, are these guys even going to be here next year? So I think the Swarm, if they're going to be successful, they have to let their young kids be their future and then let guys like McIntosh and Jackson and guys in the back end, David Earl, be their veteran leaders and help that team grow because it's a team that is built for success. They just have to let them become a cohesive unit.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to go up, I think it was December 12th weekend. I went and watched the Swarm play Rochester in preseason action. I talked to Coach Kumo, and, you know, that's what he said, you know, we have to do. We can't have the fire sales, so to speak.
Nope.
You know, we have to let these kids grow with each other, learn off of each other. He, you know, you mentioned Shane Jackson. The way he has just grown in the NLL has been phenomenal. I mean, I followed him when he started playing with Langley, with the Langley Thunder, and just watched him the whole entire through his rookie year there, all the way up, and now, you know, with the Swarm. And I have to say, the kid, because he's a lot younger than me, amazes me every single game that he plays. He's small, and you wouldn't expect him to take the pounding that he takes, but he does, and he gets right back up, and he's not shying away from going into the middle and doing what has to be done.
No, I'm a big Shane Jackson fan. Like I said, those guys are brought in for a reason, and they're there to be the future. So hopefully Eddie Como is a fantastic coach and can get them all on the same page.
Yeah, and the only thing I worry about with that team is their goaltending. They've been flip-flopping goalies, you know, for the past few years. Now they got Higgins and McDonald as the 1-2 punch. Hopefully, you know, Higgins can do what's needed to be done to be that solid one, to be there, because that's...
Yeah, that goaltending situation is one that kind of scares me. You know, Higgins got a lot of experience playing for Team Israel at the World Indoor Championships this year, which was fantastic for him because he got to see a lot of rubber and got to see some of the best shooters in the world, which was beneficial to him. He looked okay against Colorado. He had his moments. He drops his knees a little too much, so his top corners get picked off a bit. And that'll happen with smaller goalies who are kind of athletic. They really want to challenge shooters, and at times they drop their knees too much. But then you have big Brody McDonald, who's 6'6", 6'7", and a big kid. And if they can, you know, rally 1-2 around those guys and get them a lot of playing time and keep them fresh, you know, I think that's really beneficial to them. So, you know, there are holes in that team, but I think Eddie Como was the perfect guy to get them all on the same page and playing above expectations.
Yeah, you mentioned Zach Higgins with his experience with Team Israel at the World Games. I watched him play against Team USA when I had the honor of actually going there and covering it. And to tell you, it was an experience second to none to cover that. To meet some of those athletes from other countries, you know, and some obviously, you know, that play in the NLL that we always, you know, see week in, week out, but some that you never even see. Like, we became great friends with the guys from the Germany team who came over from Germany, and some of the people from Australia and England and the Czech Republic. I mean, it was just phenomenal to actually, you know, go to Syracuse, go to the Onondaga Nation, and to be there and to experience the Onondaga Nation customs and everything. And for anybody that's listening, if you really want to see what it's like, go up to the Onondaga Nation. Just outside Syracuse, it's unbelievable. I told you, I believe a few weeks ago, that me and my wife were already saving up money for the 2019 World Cup. It's going to be up there in Vancouver. I'm looking forward to going there, even if it's just for a few days. It was just such an experience to see all that and to see that kind of action that was going on. And like you said, that's what Zach Higgins got, and hopefully he can carry that into the season. Yeah, he got unlucky against Colorado, but first game, I think it's going to be maybe a little bit different tonight when they play Toronto. So, I mean, who knows? Hopefully if they fall on a rough patch, we'll say, that they don't start looking at a fire sale at the end of the year, because this team needs to stick together.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Eddie Cole is not a guy that is big on that. He likes to develop players, and he likes to keep guys together. So I think bringing him in was one of the smartest things that Arlotta has done in a long time. And I think if he just allows him to run his team and do the things possible, he leans on Como for his advice and his knowledge and his general just professionalism in this sport, then I don't think you'd see a fire sale in Georgia this year, unless it goes completely sideways and nothing works.
Works, right. All right, Teddy, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know it was kind of like a last-minute thing. You know, you've been running around crazy all day.
No worries, man.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, there's the time difference, and I think like it's now 2:30 here out on, you know, in the East Coast, and you're looking at 11:30 a.m. So we've already been there and done that.
waiting to get on the boat to go to the game tonight. So just sitting here doing nothing. So I'm glad to be on with you, and it's a pleasure to always talk to you, Rocky.
Yeah. Now, tonight, is you and Jake doing the game, or?
No, it's Jake and Brad. I don't follow any of the Fed games. It's going to be Jake and Brad Challenger on TSN Go, and I think Fox Sports Go tonight. So
cool. We get to hear the big guy.
Fantastic job, and they'll have some guests during the broadcast that people can listen to. So it'll be a fantastic one. And then there's three other great games tonight. As you mentioned, Toronto at Georgia will be a fantastic one as a Swan debut. Calgary is in Buffalo, which is always an awesome matchup. And then Colorado takes on Rochester in Rochester. And it's the return of Cody Jamison. So there's a lot of great storylines tonight, and I hope people take the time to watch the games and enjoy them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, watching the Rochester game. Of course, that's where I've been going to a lot lately. You know, me and my wife, we get in the car, take the 5-hour drive up to, you know, the interstate, and we, you know, we see all our friends up there, and yeah, you know, we just have a great time. So people who want to go see a game, take a ride to Rochester. It's a great arena. The arena in Buffalo is just as nice. I mean, it's just wherever you go, you're not going to have a bad, you know, bad game. You could wear your opponent's jersey in there and not get worried. It's not like a football game.
The experience in Rochester and Buffalo, I experienced many times playing out there when I was a Nighthawk my first few years, and those are some of the best fan bases out there. Philly was always great. The fans are just so knowledgeable and appreciative of the things that the players do. So, like you said, if you can make a road trip and go see a few games, I highly recommend it. There's a great opportunity coming up for fans to see three games in 2 days. I think it's a Friday game in Rochester, and then a Saturday afternoon in Buffalo, and then a late night game in Toronto. I think that's how it works. I can't quite remember, but there's like three games in 2 days that I'm actually trying to think about getting out to, because you're going to see a lot of lacrosse, and there's three great spots to watch the game too.
Well, you're going to have to let me know if you end up going up to Rochester.
Absolutely.
Because we're going up there because my wife just had back surgery, and she's recovering from it very nicely, thank God. March 12th and March 26th, I'll definitely be up there for the Black Wolves game. And I'll be up there in April for my daughter's 21st birthday. I'll bring her up there for that. But, yeah, we tend to go there a good bit you know, up to Rochester, and the game on the 26th, the Rochester game on the 26th, the night before, they're playing in Buffalo, and that's the night that they're retiring Johnny Tavares' number.
That is going to be one heck of a night.
Yeah, and I'm still debating on, because that's on a Friday night, thinking of, well, let's see, if we're going to go up for that weekend, take off from work on Friday, leave early Friday morning, get a couple press credentials and see that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a strong consideration.
There's going to be some, you know, emotion that night when JC's jersey retired. It is going to be one of the celebrations for the NLL, and it's going to be a night people aren't going to want to miss. So if you can get there for that, that's a game you're
going to
want to see.
Yeah, a world-class guy, very deserving, number retired, obviously, definite Hall of Famer. You know, you hate him when he's playing against you, but you have to have the utmost respect for him. And he knows that. He knows that he's going to get, you know, get razzed when he comes into the opponent's arena, but he knows the respect is there from all the fans.
Yeah, it's a heck of a career that he had. And one that I don't think we're ever going to see again.
No, we're not. Well, Teddy, again, I want to thank you. Have a safe trip on the ferry. Enjoy the game. Say hello to Jumbo for us. I'm going to look forward to hearing his call of the game. I mean, he's, you know, one of the best, if not the best, calling an indoor lacrosse game. So anybody that's out there, tune in to Fox Sports Go. I believe the game's 10 o'clock tonight. Vancouver Stealth. New England Black Wolves, Jumbo Elliott calling the game, one of the best at calling an indoor lacrosse game. I mean, I think you would agree with me on that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jake's put his time in. He's called games from junior to senior, from indoor to outdoor, and he's put his time in. And I completely agree that he is probably the best, if not the best play-by-play guy. Calling lacrosse games today. He deserves it, and he does a fantastic job.
All right. Again, Teddy, thank you so much, and I will talk to you on the other side.
Take care, my friend. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Okay, that was Teddy Jenner. Again, you could follow Teddy on Twitter at Off the Crossbar, and you could follow his show, Off the Crossbar Radio Show, and that's on Tuesday nights on TEAM 1410 Radio in Vancouver. If you type in Team 1410, it links you right to the site. You can go right ahead and listen to it online. Teddy, as you can see, listen to it, is very knowledgeable in the game of lacrosse. Started his career with the Rochester Nighthawks, finished it with the Edmonton Rush in 2007. So he's on the ferry, on the way there, obviously to watch the game, get together with Jake. Jumbo Elliott, like I said, he's one of the best, if not the best, at calling the games. Now, as you know, started the show, let's say there was a lot of changes that have happened over the summer. You heard me and Teddy talking about it, the Rush moving from Edmonton to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and the Swarm moving from Minnesota down to Georgia. Hopefully they get a good following down there in Georgia for this team. You know, obviously the Minnesota fans are highly upset. They don't have their team this year. I know how they feel. Philadelphia fans know how they feel. But yeah, as we all say, you know, that's the nature of the business. Now, last week we had two games. It was a short week. Game one, New Year's night, and a game on Saturday. The first game of the year was the Georgia Swarm facing off against the Colorado Mammoth. That was in Colorado, and Colorado came away with a hard-fought 16-15 victory on a goal by John Grant Jr. with about 45 seconds to go, in typical Grant fashion. Backed up the defender, just took one step away, fired it over the shoulder, beat Zach Higgins for the game winner. I mean, Junior has been doing this for years upon years. He ended up on the night with 2 goals and 5 assists, helping to lead the team. Adam Jones had 3 goals and 4 assists for Colorado, while Calum Crawford, the newest addition to the Mammoth roster, had 2 goals and 4 assists. So right there, with Adam Jones, John Grant Jr., and Calum Crawford, they're 7 of your 16. Last year's rookie, Jeremy Noble, is picking up right where he left off. 2 goals and 4 assists for Noble. Dan Coates, who became the captain of the team, won 16 of 28 faceoffs. And Alex Bouquet went the distance, stopping 42 of 57 shots to get the win for the Colorado Mammoth. For the Georgia Swarm, as we talked about earlier, Lyle Thompson, first game after being drafted as number one pick overall in this year's draft, had 3 goals and 1 assist on the night. Jordan McIntosh, 2 goals and 2 assists while going 16 for 33 on the faceoff draws. Shane Jackson, 3-point night with 1 goal and 2 assists. Kyle Matisse, 1 goal and 3 assists. And Randy Stats, who just played unbelievable. 3 goals, 4 assists. And Johnny Palace, who seems to have kind of gotten his, I guess you could say, swagger back a little bit. 2 goals and 4 assists for JP on the night for the Swarm, but they just fell a little bit short. And the thing to look at here is Miles Thompson, his second year, only had 1 assist on the night. He only had 4 shots on goal. That's it. So they were really on him. So if Miles gets on his game, granted it was the first game of the year, but you look at his brother Lyle with 3 goals, Randy Stats with 3 goals. They lost this game by 1 goal. Miles is good for at least 2 goals a night. So they were really defending him well in this game. So I look for him this week to have a really good week against the Toronto Rock. So we'll get to see how all this develops. But they had all around great participation throughout the team. Not just the goal scorers. Joel White, on transition, had 3 assists. I said Shane Jackson with 1 goal and 2 assists. Chad Tutton, 1 goal and 1 assist. They're getting this together. And as Teddy and I stated, they cannot tear this team apart after a year or a year and a half. When they see the trading deadline come around and they're not doing well, they can't start dishing off the pieces again like they did with Ryan Benesch and Andrew Suter. And in exchange for Andrew Suter, they got Joel White. So somewhat of an even trade, we'll say. Andrew Suter may be a little bit better because he's been in the league a little longer. But with Joel White, you get a younger transition guy who could lead this team as well. So that kind of balanced itself out. But now they get rid of Calum Crawford, sent him down to to Colorado. As he was a free agent. So now that they have these other pieces in play, you still got Shane Jackson, you got Jason Noble, you got Kyle Matisse. Now you picked up Randy Stats, Miles Thompson, Lyle Thompson, Alex Krepnicek, Jesse King, Jordan McIntosh. You got these components together. Now let them grow. Let them feed off each other. Let them get strong together. And let's see what the team can do. The last thing that they would want to do, being in a new home right now, is let one or two of these players go towards the end of the trading deadline. That's the last thing they want to do. They need to keep this team together. They need to get their goaltending situated. Zach Higgins got a lot of experience during the World Indoors, which were this past September, up in the Onondaga Nation, playing for Team Israel. So he really, said he faced a lot of rubber, faced a lot of shots, but he played really, really well. He got a lot of experience. Israel went to the bronze medal game. They fell to the United States in the bronze medal game. But you could see the emotion on that team when I was there. you know, covering the game, taking the pictures, you could see the emotion on the players from Team Israel that, you know, the first year there, they got their country to the bronze medal game. And like I said, granted, some of these guys play in the NLL, the MLL, they play in other leagues that we know of. But then there are some that don't play in the league at all. There are many players from team in Germany, in Turkey, Switzerland, trying to think, I don't know if Finland was there. I'm trying to remember all the countries. I know that you had the Czech Republic, you had Australia, you had England. So you had a lot of them there, and some of the guys you never even heard of. And who's coming over for training camp, who made the team, who didn't. And the game is just growing more and more. And some of these guys may not play again until 2019 when the World Indoors are held out in Vancouver, British Columbia. So that was the first game that we had. Georgia falling, as I said, to Colorado by a final score of 16-15. Now, the second game we had on Saturday night, you had the Calgary Roughnecks hosting the new Saskatchewan Rush. Last year's champions under the banner of the Edmonton Rush. They kind of picked up where they left off last year. Calgary, big change there is no more Sean Evans. As Teddy stated, Sean Evans, he has three kids, twin girls, who are, I believe, just 14 or 15 months old. He wanted to be closer to home. So they traded Sean Evans to the New England Black Wolves. Good deal for New England. They get an experienced player, knows how to lead a team, and a two-time MVP. I mean, it's self-explanatory right there. It cost them Tyler Digby, who they got over in a trade when they sent Garrett Billings, the New England Black Wolves, over to Vancouver. So there's a lot of trading going on. But Calgary played tough this whole entire game. They had a 5-2 lead going into the half. And they were controlling this game from top to bottom. They went 4-for-8 on their power play and went 3-for-4 on the penalty kill. Now, downside here is in the third quarter, the Rush started getting to Frank Siciliano, the starting goaltender for Calgary. They came back, they scored 4 times in the third quarter to tie the game at 6 goals apiece. It was, you know, kind of, you know, up and back. After Calgary went up 6-2, that's when Edmonton went on a 5-goal run, which went into the fourth quarter. But you had Zach Greer scoring twice within a minute and 17 seconds, and then Mark Matthews scoring 47 seconds later. So you had Zach Greer at 8:51, Zach Greer again at 10:08, Mark Matthews shorthanded at 10:55, and Riley Lowen shorthanded also at 11:56. So they had 2 shorthanded goals just on that one power play, and it looks like they had, from what I can see, 3 shorthanded goals in the whole entire game for the Rush. So as we always say, the special teams, you can win by them or you can die by them. In this case, for Calgary, they died by them because they allowed 3 shorthanded goals. Yes, they went 4-for-8 on the power play, but they also they also allowed 3 shorthanded goals. So that's going to take a lot away. That's like a 6 goal swing right there. Now Edmonton, Saskatchewan, the Rush played their typical tough defense, only holding this Calgary team to 8 goals. Is a lot. This is how the Rush played last year, the year before that. You don't see them giving up a lot of double-digit goals. And you're not going to see that again this year with Aaron Bold in between the pipes. Now, for the Rush, you had Curtis Knight had 5 assists on the night. on the game on game night. Robert Church, 2 goals and 3 assists. Jarrett Davis, 2 assists. Ryan Dilks with an assist. Mark Matthews, 2 goals, 3 assists. Last year's Rookie of the Year, Ben McIntosh, 1 goal, 1 assist. And Zach Greer, 2 goals. For anybody who watched the game, Zach Greer was getting assessed a 5-minute like cross check or high sticking call. Then he gets shoved, his lid falls off, and as he's going to the ground, his player fires the shot, and as he's going down, he catches the ball square in the mouth. I'm sure anybody who's listening has seen it. I mean, that wasn't just a lob shot that was there. That was a shot that was, put on net and just caught him square in the mouth. Then they show Zach just sitting there with an ice pack on his lips. Didn't look like there was any chiclets lost on that play because of the mouthpieces that they wear. No bad cuts, no stitches, a little swelling, obviously. But then he got right back up and right back in the game. I mean, that's just, how Zach Greer is. That happened in the fourth quarter at about 5 minutes into the fourth quarter. And after that, he was still out on the floor for that. So, you always got to keep those shin straps buckled. And even if it is, sometimes they can just come flying off. But for Calgary, their new leader is going to have to be Dane Dobby. 3 goals, 1 assist on the night. He's going to be the one taking the place of Sean Evans now out there on the floor. Jeff Shatler with a goal and an assist. Curtis Dixon, 2 goals and 2 assists. There's 6 of your 8 goals. Wesley Berg, just drafted from the University of Denver, where he won the national championship this past summer, had a goal and 2 assists in his NLL debut. And Dan McRae, who didn't score at all last year, had a goal. He had the first goal of the game. And he almost had 2. He had another breakaway and came right down and just shot it wide. But Dane Dobby's going to have to be the one that's going to have to lead this team. Tyler Digby, new addition to the team. He's stepping into that role as well, so he's going to have to pitch in as well. He came over, could say from Vancouver, but Vancouver traded him to New England to get Garrett Billings, and then New England traded Digby to Calgary in exchange to Sean Evans. And many people wonder why would Calgary want to trade a player of Sean Evans' caliber? Well, as Teddy mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of these players, some of them play 3, 4, 5 nights a week between playing in the NLL, and then when the MLL season starts to come around, and who plays also in the Canadian Summer League. 3 kids, twin daughters, you want to be close to home. You don't want to be always traveling from Calgary back to Peterborough. That's not, that's a nice little trip. Now that he's in New England, it's basically a hop, skip, and a jump. He's right there. And his family is closer. If need be, his wife can come down, watch the game, get a babysitter, or what have you. He's closer to home. Now, also this year in Toronto, Josh Sanderson has been put on the physically unable to perform list, what they call the PUP list, the PUP list. He's not in the lineup. He wants to heal from playing year after year, summer after summer, winter after winter. And what I've been thinking is this, and I don't know if it will happen or if it will not happen, but should Josh Sanderson not come back to the Toronto Rock, one has to think, will they try to do a trade with New England for Sean Evans? keeps him in Canada. Toronto to Peterborough, a couple hour trip, 2 hour trip, I think, at the most, give or take. Stays in Canada. I mean, it's, you know, New England gets some draft picks for him, or, you know, maybe, you know, another, you know, different player, or what have you. I'm just, you know, thinking off, you know, off the top of my head. You know, should it be where New England's not making a playoff push? Toronto is. Toronto needs that one extra cog, we'll say, for the machine. Sean Evans could be it. Last year, New England sent Kevin Crowley to Toronto in exchange for Garrett Billings, just as the trading deadline was, you know, we'll say striking midnight, actually, 3 p.m. Now Kevin Crowley has come back to New England. They traded him back for the Black Wolves' first-round pick this past season, this past draft, I should say. So now Kevin Crowley is back. So you have Kevin Crowley. You have Sean Evans. You got Pat Saunders, who led the team last year in points and will seem to thrive on having Sean Evans there in the lineup with him. So it should be very interesting to see how that team really, you know, gels together. But with Calgary, the changes that they made, looks like Frankie Siciliano is the starting goaltender for the team, and Mike Poulin's going to be in backup duty. Siciliano really proved himself last season, and he started again this season, stopping 37 of 47 shots. Unfortunately, he got saddled with the loss. So that's how it ended up last weekend. The Saskatchewan Rush on the road in Calgary win 10-8. Strong defensive game for their part. And the Colorado Mammoth defeat the Georgia Swarm 16-15. Now tonight, you have four games. The only team not in action is the Rush. They'll be back in action next weekend. But this weekend, at 7:05, you have the Rock facing the Georgia Swarm down in Georgia. So we get to see what kind of crowd they bring in. That game, I believe, is on Fox Sports Go. Then at 7:30 tonight, you got the Calgary Roughnecks facing off against the Buffalo Bandits. Buffalo's home opener. 25th year of the franchise. First year without John Tavares. So we'll get to see how the Bandits, you know, do with that. Last year he didn't play that many games, so he started preparing for that. But we'll get to see how they do and how Calgary will do this game. Also at 7:30, just an hour east on Interstate 90, you got the Colorado Mammoth facing the Rochester Nighthawks. This game, as Teddy said, has a lot of storylines. You got the return again of John Grant Jr. coming back to Rochester. No doubt he'll get a nice ovation as he always does. Then you have with Rochester the return, as far as we know right now, of Cody Jameson coming off knee injury from last year, having the surgery. Obviously, you know, missing the playoffs, so Cody seems to be up and running and ready to go. So it looks like he'll be, you know, anxious to get back out on that floor and you know, go from there. And that should be a really good game. Alex Bouquet is on his game right now. And for Rochester, you got none other than Matt Vince, Vino, as he's known to the fans there in Rochester. So that game will be very exciting. So I'm probably going to have some kind of a split screen going on between the Toronto-Georgia game and the Colorado-Rochester. So I'm curious to see how the Georgia fans react to the game of indoor lacrosse there for the first time. And then at 10 p.m., once the other three are done, you're going to have the New England Black Wolves visiting the Vancouver Stealth at the Langley Arena. That game, as Teddy said, will be called by none other than Jake Elliott, Jumbo, as he is known. one of the best at calling the games. But that game there, Garrett Billings, who went from Toronto to New England to Vancouver, where he is from, so he is now back home playing for the Stealth. For the Stealth, you got Reese Dutch and you got Garrett Billings on that team. That is nothing to sneeze about right there. You got some high power talent right there just with those two players. They're coming into this game with Tyler Richards being, retiring. He's not, he went ahead and took a step back this season. Stepping away from the game, we'll say. And it's just going to be, a little bit, different now without having T. Rich be, in between the pipes for Vancouver. I'm trying to get their roster up as we speak here. Like I was saying, between Reese Dutch, I'm sorry for that. You're looking at Reese Dutch and Garrett Billings. This is going to be a team that hopefully can somewhat, get things together. And here we go. Modern technology, you have to love it. Reese Dutch, Garrett Billings, Corey Small, Logan Shush, came over from the Swarm. Another Swarm guy that was let go. You have Ian Hawksby, Joel McCready, Jared Toll, Mitch McMichael, Justin Salt, Travis Cornwall. They have the talent there. It's just they got to put it all together. And with those two players right there, Dutch and Billings, it's going to be one heck of a team if they could just put it together. Eric Penny and Chris Levis are the goaltenders. I believe Eric Penny is most likely going to get the start for the Stealth tonight. And then when you look at New England, like I said, you add in Sean Evans. You look at Kevin Crowley, but you also look at Kevin and Kyle Buchanan. They're major components here. Pat Saunders up there on the offense. Quinn Palace. A healthy Quinn Palace is going to do wonders for this team. It really, really is. They started out 2-0 last year until he went down with a knee injury. So I'm going to be curious to see how Quinn Palace comes out with his first game back. Shane McDonald, you got him out there as a forward. As I said, both Buchanans, Kevin and Kyle Buchanan, Brett Bucktooth, Kevin Crowley, Sean Evans, Pat Saunders. In the defense, you got Brett Manning, you got Brian McGill, Derek Suddens, Big Bill O'Brien. So they got a strong defense. And then you have Evan Kirk and Ty Bellinger as the 1-2 goalie tandem combination. It's going to be kind of interesting to see this. So I'm glad that this game is at 10 o'clock after all these other games are done and over. So I'll give you my selections for tonight. I see Toronto coming up with a victory over Georgia. Buffalo and Calgary, you can kind of flip a coin, but I think Calgary will probably come up ahead on this one. Rochester and Colorado, I see Rochester winning their home opener. Vancouver and New England, it's going to go by what Vancouver team shows up. If Billings and Reese Dutch can work well together and get everybody else into the game, they come up with a really big win. I think that would be great for them to get started on the right foot. Then again, with New England, you want to see them come out strong and get their first win and start to build and pick up on a on the upside instead of the way they were finishing last year, winning only two out of their last 16 games. They started out 2-0, then they went 2-14. So they want to see that franchise build up. So you could see for a big win there. So I'm going to pick New England. So my choices are New England, Rochester, Calgary, and Toronto. Now next week, on Thursday, we have a game on Thursday night. Rochester is at Toronto. That's at 7:30. That's going to be a really good game. Kind of hard to preview that one, seeing we don't know what they're going to do tonight. The next Friday, you got Calgary is at New England for New England's home opener. And Vancouver is at Saskatchewan. Get to see, probably see that banner up. Curious to see how it looks. And then next Saturday, two games. Toronto is at Rochester, so it's kind of a home and home with Rochester and Toronto. And Buffalo is at Colorado. And then on Sunday, the 17th, New England goes to Georgia. So we have games four nights next week. Thursday, one game. Friday, two. Saturday, two. And Sunday with one. So we're really going to be log-jammed in there with games next week. As far as the standings go, I still see Vancouver finishing at the bottom. I see Edmonton finishing up the top of the West. And Colorado and Calgary fighting for that second and third spot again like they've always done. When you go to the East, everything can kind of be a crapshoot here only because Toronto they have a lot of players that have 13, 14 plus years in the league. But they're still a major contender. Rochester has basically kept the same unit, a few tweaks here and there. They got some young talent, guys that aren't as old in the league. So I'm going to see them as winning the East this year. And then the last four, it can really... Toronto, like I said, is up there in age. New England has a new lease on life, we'll say, with Sean Evans there. Georgia with the draft picks that they have. They had four picks in the first round. So you got Lyle Thompson in the lineup now, Randy Stats. They can play a big part. Buffalo, how do they respond without John Tavares? Are they contender or just starting of their rebuilding? And will they, you know, be there? So you gotta kinda look, but I'll just say I believe it's gonna be Rochester, Toronto, New England, also New England, Buffalo, and Georgia are all going to fight for that last spot out of the three. But I see Rochester 1, Toronto 2, and then 3, 4, and 5. I'll give the edge, I'll say, to New England, then Buffalo, and then Georgia. That's how I see that right now. I mean, like I said, it's so up in the air right now with all the trades that happened and who was drafted and, you know, who changed addresses. It can be any number of things right now that happens. That's how it looks so far for this week. Like I said, it's only two games, so the season just started. We'll get more of a sense of things tonight. Four more games. We'll see how these teams look, and we can talk about it all again next week. Hopefully I can get another guest on. Again, I want to thank Teddy Jenner for coming on, spending some time out of his day. And as I said, you can follow him on Twitter at Off the Crossbar. And you know, follow him. Very, you know, great wealth of knowledge in the game and about the game. Tune into his radio show Tuesday nights, Off the Crossbar. He always has a number of guests. Also want to welcome, again, the new commissioner, Nick Sakevich, to the NLL family. I'm trying to get a nice little one-on-one interview with Mr. Sakevich so I can play it here on the show. Ask him what his outlook is for the league, what he would like to see done, you know, what maybe kind of rule changes or maybe is he looking at, or, you know, how does he see this league? What is, you know, he going to do? So again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, the game's tonight at 7:05. You have Toronto visiting the Georgia Swarm. Then you have Calgary visiting Buffalo at 7:30. Also at 7:30, Colorado visits Rochester at the BCA. And at 10 p.m. tonight, New England faces Vancouver. Again, Jake Elliott on the call for that game. If you want to hear a game really called great, I can't say it enough. I really enjoyed listening to Jake make the calls of this game. He pulls no punches. He says it like it is. He shows no favoritism. So you will get an honest game there. You won't get a homer version, as you know, you like to say with some of them. So that's what you have on slate for tonight. Next weekend, the week starts early with a Thursday night game, Rochester at Toronto. And then Friday, you have a 7 p.m. and an 8:30 game, Calgary at New England and Vancouver at Saskatchewan. So until next Saturday, my name is Rocco Granato. I thank you for tuning in to NLL Weekly Preview. And I will see everybody here again next week. Give me fire, give me that one, try to slide.